want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. And if you want to find out more about Man Warrior King, you can hit us up at www.manwarriorking.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast, being sure to leave a 5-star review and spread the word. I really believe that Jesus is awakening men in our day to know him for real. And he's awakening men to rise into their full, authentic manliness through connection with their king. I believe he is wanting to both resurrect the men in the church and also rebuild the kingdom in the church's men. And that's what we're here doing. I'm here proclaiming the message that he has worked into me over the course of my life. And I know that this message is life-changing and it's powerful and it will change the world when men start to live in their true identity, their true calling as men of the kingdom. So the more you spread this, the more the earth will be full of men walking in their calling. And that is something that excites me. That is something that I believe excites the heart of God. And it's something that I am honored to be a part of. So, though, enough of that. Today, we are going to talk about how to experience God. That, my friends, is a question that many, many of us have. How do I go from just knowing about God, from knowing the right things, to thinking about him like with the right beliefs that I have about him, having all the right doctrine? How do I go from this head knowledge to actually knowing him as a person, as a friend, even as a person who is present, who changes things? Because if we don't have a living experience of a living presence who is God, then we don't have anything. We don't have anything better than any other religion on the earth. We are just a religion if we don't know him in reality. And one of my biggest concerns is that our culture, our Christian culture, has somehow begun to accept a gospel that doesn't have power. It's begun to accept a gospel that doesn't have the presence of God in it. We don't actually fight through in prayer until answers come and God proves himself alive. Instead, we change our prayers to be things that are a lot easier to either see happen or to make up answers that they actually happened. For example, instead of praying that Jesus would heal a loved one of cancer, right? Outright praying for healing, as we see happen in the Bible. That's a biblical thing. But instead of that, we often pray that God would give wisdom to the doctors, that God would comfort that person, bring peace to their family. And these are good things. And you may have prayed them, and that's okay. But what's not okay is that we drop back from a full biblical faith. In the book of Hebrews, it says, we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but we push forward.
We push forward, always pushing the limits of what's possible, because if Jesus said all things are possible to them who believe, then why do we settle? Why do we settle for less? And why do we wait and come up with doctrines that make it feel wrong to believe for more? A couple of years ago, I was praying one day and Jesus spoke to me. He impressed some things in my spirit, but he showed me the story where he was in the garden. He had been praying, and right before Judas brought the whole band of brothers, so to speak, to arrest him, when they got there, Peter, being his full fiery self, he takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, who was one of the temple guards, I believe. And what Jesus showed me there is that he took the man's ear, as the Bible says, and he replaced it. He healed it. He restored it to what it was meant to be. And he was telling me, I have established what the gospel that I have brought to earth is a gospel of restoration. It is not a gospel of making you feel better about the less that you have. Now, he didn't just touch Malchus's head and close up the wound and leave the ear off. But we've gotten so used to settling for that, for God to not actually show up, for God to not do what only he can do. If you read the Old Testament, if you read especially the prophets, I'm in Jeremiah right now, and if you read how he speaks about the idols that his people would create, he says they're dumb. The idols, they don't do jack. They're wood, they're stone, and you pray to them. But I'm the living God. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who showed you my outstretched arm in signs and wonders. I am the one who's alive. He says in Jeremiah, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. This sounds like a God who wants to show himself, who wants to show off, to make a name for himself. So are we going to put him up to it? Are we going to actually hold him to that? Are we going to engage with him and say, okay, God, yes, you want to show up. You want to show yourself strong. Okay, then. Then God, I'm in, and I will fight for it. I will hang on until you do your stuff. And I will tell others, and I will share about the God who is alive. I will live my life in such a way that I build a testimony of a living God who intervenes in my affairs, in my world, on a regular basis, because he is not dead. He is not far off. The kingdom is not far off, but it is here within us. This is a gospel of restoration, where the things that are broken actually get restored. We don't just always have to feel better about the fact that they stay broken forever. And we put on a good face and we say all the right things because we feel embarrassed. We don't want to be exposed, and we don't want God to be exposed as someone who doesn't actually do anything. I'd rather wrestle, though. I'd rather wrestle like Jacob all night long with God until he shows up, until he answers, until he blesses me. And I'd rather be honest about it and say, you know what, I'm not seeing the answer, but I am wrestling right now. And I will not stop because this God says that he is alive. This God says that he does miracles. He says that he impacts my life. And I am not going to settle for a doctrine and a dead God that doesn't cut it for me. That does not cut it. A dead God is not who I am serving. Jesus rose from the grave, so why do we put him back in it with our unbelief? But Jeremiah invites us. He says, call to me, and I will answer. In Jeremiah 29, God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. You will find me. It's not just you will be good at thinking the right things or you will have the right beliefs. It's you will actually find me and encounter me, a person. And you know what? I'm not going to just be dead and dumb. I will restore the fortunes to you. I will do stuff that has impacted, that has a readout That's tangible. I'll change your life. For me, the reason why I don't settle for less is because of my own battle. I have been on a journey toward healing for like 12 years now. 12 years ago, I got a major blow. Arthritis started in one joint and it spread, and now it's all over my body. I'm 3 inches shorter now than I used to be. I have bones that have not healed like they should. I have ankles that are deformed and toes that are bending over on top of themselves. I've had years of pain. Daily. And there have been years where I could hardly get out of bed and my wife thought I was going to die. And in a place like that, I had a choice. Either settle for what I had just come to believe, along with many, many other Christians, which is that stuff like this, like we don't know God's mysterious will, but it must, you know, if it's not changing, he must have a better plan. And his will must be for you to go through this. And I'm sorry, but for me in that place, that was crap that didn't cut it. I don't care that God has a better plan. When I'm stuck in pain and in my bed, I want to be healed. And when I read the Bible, I see Jesus healing people. And I don't see anything in the Bible that tells me he's done. I don't. In fact, I see Hebrews tell me how it tells me that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed people yesterday, then I think he's still in the business of healing people today. And he will continue to be. And this is not just me just being arrogant. This is me being a child. He said, if you want to see the kingdom, if you want to enter the kingdom, then become like a child. And so if a child sees the Bible and sees Jesus heal people, and then a child hears that same Jesus say, I will never change, then a child is going to believe that today Jesus heals people. It's we adults who start to get smart and think it through too much and come up with reasons why not and reasons to make ourselves feel better. But a child believes, and that's it. And so I looked and I believed because the Bible said that Jesus heals. And so that's where I'm at right now. But it started me on a journey of wanting to see a lot more because I see the Bible alive with a God who is alive. With a God who does miracles and tells us that he stretches out his arm and we can see him do great and wondrous deeds. Chronicles says that he looks, he's intently searching throughout the entire earth for those whose hearts are loyal to him so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. My God, show yourself strong on my behalf. I want a life that tells of your glory. And tells of your goodness, and tells that you're alive, that you restore, and you are real, and you are not just somebody that I give lip service to. If you've been in this for a long time now, for years, and you feel like you don't hardly know Jesus, how do you get to know him? I believe there are many times when he comes and he sideswipes us out of nowhere and we may not expect it. We may not even be setting ourselves up well for it. And yet he does it. Okay, but I want to tell you how you can position yourself to get to know him for your part. How you can actively grow in that and begin to experience him, begin to know him and not be sitting around waiting for it to happen to you, playing the victim of circumstance. How can you take ownership of your relationship with him? It's not that you are creating it out of nowhere. It's not that you are making the whole relationship happen and pretending that God's in it. It's not it at all. But you, look, God said in Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He's saying, listen, you make a move. You be the one to seek me out. And when you make the move, I'm going to show up. And sometimes we get it backwards and we say, God, if you show up, then I'll make the move. So how can you position yourself to get to know him? And it can be a trying journey, okay? we have these things in our lives that we want to see change, right? We come to him with our prayer requests. Well, if you want to show yourself to be a God who answers prayer, then I better ask you for some prayer requests. And that's true. He does want us to ask, but we have to do it on the right foundation. Because if we're only coming to the Lord to ask of him these things that are bugging us, that are hurting us, that we're desperate for, and we're trying to get him to improve our lives, we're bringing him into our self-centered existence to make it better. We're going to find out that the promises in the Bible don't work like that. They are lifeless because Jesus said, "You have searched the scriptures and you think that they bring you life, but they don't. They point to me. I give you life." And so as we come to him, we need him. We need his person. We don't just need his answers. We need his person. We need him himself. And so we spend time alone in the prayer closet after the person of Jesus. And we might have the things that are broken in our lives that we are desperate to see change. But there has to be time when we lay those things down and we just want him. And we say, "God, at all costs, I want to know you. I want to see you. So have all of me. And yeah, my life hurts, but God, even if you don't answer in that way, I will never bow to the voice that says that you are not a real live God. And I will continue to go after you because I want you, Jesus. And I acknowledge that my life was never meant to be lived for me. And so right now, Lord, I am surrendering. And I want to live according to your kingdom, and I want to live on mission for you, and I want to live as a soldier answering to a higher call than myself. And I want to make my decisions. I want to decide how my day goes. I want to direct my path as much as I do. But God, I acknowledge that you direct it, but I want to do all these things according to your heart and according to what you would say. So I'm going to search for you. I'm going to spend time here and I'm going to wait in this prayer closet. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait for you just like they did in Acts before the Holy Spirit showed up and changed their lives. They waited on him and they sought him. This is how we experience God and the miracles that we experience first in the secret and quiet. Or when we're loudly calling out to him, but we experience him in that calling out. We experience him in the wrestling through the night. And once we engage with him and we go after his person, we go after knowing him and his ways as a friend, as a dad, as a groom. And we say, "God, no matter what you do or don't do, you are the prize. You are what I really want." Then we will see him in a new way, and we're going to see his hand stretch out into our lives, into our circumstances, and do some stuff that's going to turn heads, that will turn our heads, because God doesn't play small, and he's been dying, he's been waiting for the opportunity to show up and to show off. We keep him small, like I said before. Jesus rose again, so why do we put him back in the grave with our unbelief? We tend to think that if we lay down our problems and we don't actually bring them to God, we don't focus on them, we don't dwell on them, we don't obsess over them, then somehow nothing's going to change. He won't see them. And so we don't believe that he will do anything. And it's that unbelief that wants to roll the stone back in front of the tomb. But I pray right now, Jesus, that you don't let any single one of us put that stone over you. And you show up. Show yourself strong, Jesus.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, You are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere. This is Matt Halleck, signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.